of whether you can remember it here what you could remember easily out there. Because I had some young people tell me different things out there, and I'm like, I know that you know these answers, but sometimes when you're sitting here, it's like me standing here with names. They just don't happen anymore. So Hebrews 4:12, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and this is going to be our key verse for the evening. We're looking tonight at the idea of discernment and discretion. Two very important words, two words that are similar to each other and based upon each other, and two words that we need as Christians and just in our operation of life in general. And definitely we want God helping us to have these two things. And by the end of the evening, our prayer ought to be, God, I need discernment. God, I need discretion. And hopefully you'll understand those two terms. You'll see them biblically and understand the value of them in the Christian life. And so Hebrews 4:12 makes this statement, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When we look at the idea of discernment, the dictionary definition from Webster's is this: the power or faculty of mind by which it distinguishes one thing from another, as truth from falsehood or virtue from vice. The idea of discretion is that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper. So you need the discernment to know right from wrong. You need the discernment to understand false, true, and false, and all of those things. And then discretion comes along on the heels of discernment and says, now, I understand the difference. How do I operate based upon that difference? And that is the idea of discretion. Let's pray and we'll look to the scriptures tonight. Father, I ask you would help us. God, this is for sure, it's a tool that is given over and over in your word. It is something that we ought to seek. It's something that your wisdom gives to us. It is something that your word helps us with. And it's something that your word does even when we don't and aren't able to discern our very hearts. And so, God, we need it. I pray that you would help us with it tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Genesis 27:33. So we've got some dictionary definitions. I like to go to the Bible, and you can turn to these if you want. We're going to go three verses in Genesis that kind of give us the Bible definition, and these are some of the first areas where these words are used. And verse chapter 27 of Genesis, verse 23 says this: "And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him." Jacob comes, he has his goat hair on his hands. The blessing is supposed to go to Esau according to Isaac's wishes. And Jacob comes in, Isaac touches the goat hair and thinks, well, this is Esau. He couldn't see very well. And the Bible says he didn't discern between them. He could not tell the difference. So we get the idea of the definition of discern. In Genesis 41, verse 33, we get the idea of discretion when Pharaoh is speaking to Joseph. And it says in Genesis 41, 33, "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land." So he says, Joseph speaking to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, I have a recommendation." He wasn't talking about himself, though he was chosen. He says, "Choose a man that has discretion. A man that can discern and judge based upon correct discernment." And so then in verse 39, it says, "Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art, and thou shalt be over my house according unto thy word, shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." So Joseph shows up, and God had given him both discernment and the ability to then act upon that discernment. Some people know the difference between right and wrong, but they don't know what to do with it. So you need both discernment and discretion as we operate in life. Children, if we look at these verses in the Bible, children and simple people lack discernment. The Bible says in Jonah 4:11, I'm just going to read some of these to you, but Jonah 4:11 says, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Now, here he's just simply saying there were some people that were young enough in that land that did not have the ability to know their right hand from their left. And God says, look, Jonah, you want me to just wipe out all of these people, all of these children, 600,000 children that don't know the difference between their right hand and their left? You don't want me to forgive the city and give them a chance to go forward? Look how they've repented. But he was simply saying they lack discernment. Now, for a child, that's not a problem. But, you know, for a two-year-old to not know their right hand from their left hand, not a big deal. You get to be 16 and you still don't know that, now we got a problem. Probably if you get to 6 and you don't know that, you got a problem. But you look at it and the ability to discern, it's not found in children. And then in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 7, you see somebody watching on, and it says, "And I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." So here is an onlooker, and he's watching what's going on, and he says, here's a young man, and in Proverbs chapter 7, that young man is going, he's going to get caught up with a harlot, and he says, "I was able to tell that this young man lacked wisdom. I was able to tell that this young man was void of understanding, and I could tell that because of his actions." So the onlooker has discernment. Now, obviously, the young man lacked discernment, especially when it came to deal with this harlot woman that was going on. He lacked discernment, but the onlooker says, "I was able to discern and tell the difference." You know, we hear so many times, and I don't know if you hear it as much as I hear it, but so many times, yeah, they're doing that, but they've got a really good heart. Now, a person that looks and says someone that's doing evil, but they have a really good heart, the person making that statement lacks discernment. And then they are going to further lack discretion dealing with that. Because if we don't have discernment, we're not going to have discretion. Discretion is built upon discernment. So what, and ultimately, this simple person, and you look at the simple people that lack discernment, what do they need? The Word of God points them to the Bible, points them to God's wisdom. It is the Bible that helps us. Because sometimes our own hearts don't get it. So we go to the Word of God. Because the Word of God gets it every time. The Word of God is always correct. The Word of God is going to give us what we ourselves lack in our human form. The Word of God is going to help us both to have and build discernment. But then the Word of God is also going to help us. Now that I've got discernment, how do I react to a situation? The situations, and we're not going to go heavily into situations tonight, the situations vary from person to person. They're hugely varied. But we look at it, and the Word of God will always guide us to this is right, this is wrong. There's a difference between these things. We need to be able to tell the difference. That's discernment. And then we go further into the Word of God and say, now that I can see the situation clearly, how do I act upon the situation? What kind of judgment do I use in the situation? And that is the idea of discretion. So children and simple people lack discernment. Secondly, God always has the ability to discern who is really serving Him. God knows. Jeremiah 10:12 says this, "He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom." Do you think God did a pretty good job making the earth? Think he made a pretty good job making the sun, moon, and stars? The climate and all that goes with it? I think God did a pretty good job. If man hadn't messed it up, it'd be better yet. Okay? But then it says this, and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. So God says, I'm going to put this far away from this, and this far away from this. I'm going to make all of this operate exactly correctly. And you know what? Tomorrow morning, the sun's going to come up. And tomorrow night, it'll go down. And the moon is going to run through, and if you watch it, and you had no clocks and no calendars and everything, you could actually watch it and say, okay, a month has passed. I believe it runs on a 28-day cycle, and I know it wouldn't be exactly our 365-day year. You get a little variant with that, but really, you could say 2 moons ago. And look, God did that. God set everything exactly where he wanted it to operate, and he used his judgment to do that. Was God's judgment pretty good? Yeah, I don't think you could improve on it. I definitely know I couldn't improve on it. Malachi 3:18 says this, then shall ye return and discern, it's talking about the Lord returning, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Do you know what? God knows every time between the righteous and the wicked. Do we sometimes miss that? Sure. Now we can look and, well, that's obvious wicked and that's obvious righteous. But you know, there are some times when we can't tell because maybe you've got somebody faking it. And sometimes you get this idea, man, I can't put a finger on it. But there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the attitude. There's something wrong with the spirit. There's just something. And, you know, they've got all the right appearance. They've got the right words. They've got the ability to speak the right words with their mouth. Look, some of that comes by a person just growing up in church. But God knows who's righteous and who's not. And God knows who's real and who's not. And God knows who's serving him and who's not serving him. But God even knows who's pretending to serve him, but they may really be doing it for their own purposes. And so God knows all of that. There is no lack of discernment and there is no lack of discretion with God. Hebrews 4:12 brings us back then to our key verse. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know what will expose your heart to you? This book. You get in this book, and sometimes, honestly, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord God. If you can't figure out your own heart, get in the book. God will reveal you to yourself. And God's word is not incorrect. It will always be correct. If God always has the ability to discern, and God always uses discretion, and God gave us his word, do you think we need his word? We need the book. I need the book. And sometimes as we get into the book and as we deal with people and we get into the book and we deal with people and we get into the book and we deal with situations, you know what? Discernment grows through time. Wisdom comes from God. And discretion is something, look, the younger a person is, the less discernment you expect them to have. Young people, you need the book. Young people, you need the book for discretion after you get discernment. But you know what? I need it. I need it. Because not all things are always as they seem. And we need to know the difference. So ultimately, I need discernment from God. You need discernment from God. We need discretion from God. 1 Kings chapter 3, if you'll turn there. You have Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. This is while Solomon was young. Solomon was rather humble to begin with. And God comes to Solomon and says, ask me for something. And in 1 Kings 3, verse 9 through 11, the Bible says this, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Wow, what a spirit. Oh, if you could find a politician with that attitude. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Now, we understand. Do you know that a person can live for God today and not live for God tomorrow? Do you know that a person can live for God for years and stop living for God? Solomon starts out here, his attitude is good. He's asking God, and God gave him discernment, and God gave him discretion, and at some point, Solomon got focused on me. In the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter 2, Solomon says, I myself. Solomon got his focus off of understanding God and the ability to discern, to judge God's people to me. And when that happened, Solomon lost discernment and he definitely lost discretion. Some 1,000 women, he definitely lacks discretion. But he started out with some great wisdom, and he ended up in the end, after he made all the mistakes, coming back to great wisdom. But in between, he had a wasted life. And hence the idea of Ecclesiastes is it's just all vanity. Yeah, Solomon, because you spent it on yourself. It's all about you. 2 Samuel 14:17 says this, then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable, for as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore the Lord thy God will be with thee. Here it was just recognized. David, you got some discernment. Job chapter 6 and verse 30 says this, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? The idea of the tongue. You know, the tongue can be a great revealer. And the tongue, if we learn to discern, we can learn that the tongue can reveal a whole lot about people. And it can give us a lot of discernment about people. And then beyond that discernment, we need discretion. Ecclesiastes 8:5 says, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Well, that's a good thing to know, isn't it? I know this situation is here. But God, I need to be able to discern and have the discretion to know the right time, the right place to deal with this. I need to know the things that are going on over here and the things that are going on over here, because all of this is working together. Anybody been there? Like, man, I need this. I know something needs done. I just don't know when's the right time to do it. I know that I've got to deal with this thing. But God, I need your judgment to know how to deal with this thing. Sometimes we sit back and it's like, okay, I discern the problem. But boy, the quandary is not usually knowing the problem. The quandary is how do you deal with it? And it's just simply, God, I've got to have your help. And sometimes you deal with it, you do the best you can, you deal with it as close you can to the Word of God, you try your best, and ultimately you look back and say, well, I blew that one. Other times you look back and say, you know what, God, thank you, you helped me, it was right on target. But it comes down to, even if we make a mistake, what was your heart like in the process? Were you asking God for discernment? Were you asking God for discretion? Was your heart about, I want to do the right thing? Because let me ask, we all make mistakes sometimes, right? What spirit did you go in to the situation with? Was it a spirit, oh, I'm just going to take care of it? Or was it a, God, I really want to do the right thing about this situation? And so you've got discernment and you've got discretion. Ezekiel 44:23 says, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane and cause them to discern between unclean and the clean. In our society and in our churches of today, the lines of holy and unholy and the lines of clean and unclean are being blurred. The Bible is given to us, and the preaching of the Word of God should be to unblur the lines. The Word of God is there for discernment between unclean and clean. We just have to lay it out. And sometimes when you get ready to lay it out, now whether it's in the idea of music that we've kind of just dealt with, whether it's in the idea of the King James Version of the Bible versus some of these others that are out there, what are you doing? You're unblurring the lines. Because what happens is the lines get blurred, and then you start to lose discernment. And if we lose discernment, we're definitely losing discretion. And so we unblur the lines. But sometimes those blurred lines are some of the hardest things to deal with because, not because the Bible has changed, but because society has changed. But understand, people have to be taught to discern. Right is still right. Holy is still holy. Clean is still clean. Wrong is still wrong. Profane is still profane. Unholy is still unholy. And we have the Word of God, and the Word of God lays out the lines. And it gives us that discernment. Hebrews 5:14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The idea of understanding good and evil and discerning between them is an exercise. If we just sit back and we don't put to use the Word of God, we'll end up with blurred lines. It can happen to any one of us. It can happen in our homes. It can happen in our families. It can happen in our churches. It can happen in all of our dealings. And so we need to continually go to God, say, God, give me discernment. What are the lines? What's right? What's wrong? Take the situation itself out of it. What's right and wrong? Sometimes they're emotional things. Take the emotion out of it. What's right and wrong? Sometimes that's easier for a man than a woman. Sometimes it's not. But we look at it and say, okay, I have to separate myself from the picture. What does God say? And let's get that discernment. So discernment is there. And then it is to be understood, Jesus a couple times rebukes people for being able to have discernment in physical matters, but lack discernment in spiritual matters. Two times Jesus references this statement, Matthew 16:3 and Luke 12:56. They're slightly different, but Matthew 16:3 says this, "And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times." He looks at them and he says, you can tell the weather. It's a physical thing. Do you know there are people of this world that have all kinds of common sense and no spiritual sense? There are people of this world that are brilliant with their money. They know how to make money, make money. They know how to get around this and do this and do this, and they've got the system done. And sometimes the people of this world, they've got discernment in all kinds of areas, but they can't even tell you whether God's real or not. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." You know, there are some people that I would go to and I would ask them advice about a car or about money or about something that I would never ask them one thing concerning what do you do about a family situation. Because they have discernment in these areas, but they lack spiritual discernment. And Jesus, he rebukes people for being more in tune and more in touch with the physical than with the spiritual. Ultimately, where do we need more discernment? Spiritual, for sure. We need spiritual discernment. We need to be able to discern things that are happening. Now, once we have discernment, then we can act with discretion. Psalm 112, verse 5 says this, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion." Now, if you're going to lend to somebody, it gives the idea of lending and the idea of discretion. Two people come to you, and they want a loan. And you've got the money to loan them the money. And you look at one and say, well, yeah, no problem. And you look at the other and say, not in a million years. Well, you're not fair. Well, no, maybe you've got some discernment. And you're operating with discretion. Because you're looking behind the scenes and this person doesn't pay their bills. They've defaulted and gone bankrupt before. Yeah, probably not a good idea to loan them the money. And so the ability to discern takes then and gives us the ability through life to be guided by discretion and make judgment upon a variety of situations. Here it was just a matter of lending. Proverbs 19:11, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." There is a time to be angry, and there is a time to step back, count to 10, and let it simmer down. We need the discernment to know when to do what, and we need the discretion. How much anger do you put out over this situation? What tone is your voice going to carry as you deal with this? You know, all of that is discretion. There are times to be angry. I don't think there's a time that we should lose our temper. We should not lose control. But there's a time to be angry at this level, and there's a time to be angry at this level. There's a time to be angry at this level. Jesus himself went in and overturned the money changers' tables, took a whip and drove out the animals. But you know where he stopped? He didn't let the birds out of the cages. These animals are all retrievable. A bird that flies away, not necessarily retrievable. Jesus knew exactly where the line was as he demonstrated the anger, but he did not cross the line in actually destroying their property. And so discretion is used, and we need that discretion all the time. And we need to ask God for it. We need God's wisdom in order to have discretion. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be a little bit in Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 1. And verse number 4. Proverbs 1:4. Says to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. So God's word and instruction, and ultimately the instruction of wisdom and justice that a young man is getting from their parents, the goal is you're giving it to them so that they will have discernment, so that they can operate with discretion. As you teach your children, you that have small children, you that have children that are coming up. Look, one of the best tools you can put in your child's toolbox is discretion. But before they can get discretion, they have to have discernment. So as parents, we have to make sure that we're not blurring the lines. There are times when we need to simply in our families boldly say, you know what, this person is dead wrong. And my children grew up at different levels being told, look, we love them, we care about them, but they're dead wrong. And you call out sin. And they grew up hearing when someone would say, oh, they've got such a good heart. We could get in the car and we say, no, they don't. Their heart's wrong. They're disobeying God. They're not right. Because I didn't want them to have blurred lines. And sometimes you have to just simply go in and say, you know what? These lines are being blurred. I'm unblurring them for you. Because I didn't want them growing up without discernment. Because if the lines are blurred, then they're not going to have the discretion to make right choices themselves. And as the adult and the parent, I have to look at it and say, you know what? Wrong is wrong, and we're going to call out wrong, and we're going to condemn wrong. But hey, we need to pray for them. When we go over there, remember, we are trying to be a good testimony and a good example. And it has nothing to do with we're better than them, we're not. It has to do with right is right and wrong is wrong. And we need the discernment to know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. And if we want to have our children to have lines that are unblurred, because ultimately, if they don't have discernment, they're never going to have discretion. We need God's wisdom to have discretion. Proverbs 2:11. Again, we're coming at this. You have a parental perspective as a man is teaching his children. And he says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Now, from a parental standpoint, do I want those two things in my children? Now, my children are now like this. Guess what? They still need discernment and they still need discretion. But hopefully it's been given to them along the way, because they get to be this big, it's a little late to give it to them. Now we can still try. But the parent's job, unblur the lines. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, and then verse 21, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Verse 21, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and," what? "Discretion." Son, you've got to have wisdom. There were times when I would look at my son and say, "You need to pray for wisdom because you're lacking it right now." I didn't do that in a mean way. Just look, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, right? And there's times where you just need to look at your child and say, "That was not wise. It wasn't necessarily sin. It's not something you give them a spanking for, but it's just that was not wise. You need to ask God for wisdom." And he would often respond, I do. I ask God for wisdom. It just doesn't seem to work sometimes. Keep asking. It'll get there. It'll get there. But what a blessing it is to watch that wisdom grow and watch that discretion grow. And look, this is just completely a side note. Christmas play practice. We can have a good time. Guess what? This week it's time to get real serious. We've had fun, okay? But we're coming down to the final time, so let's focus in and have discernment. You can have fun, and you can be serious. We need the discretion to know the difference, right? Discretion shall preserve thee. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. Proverbs 5, verse 2 and 3. Let's go ahead and read verse 1. "My son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." And then goes this whole description. Here is a man that is telling his son, "Son, I'm older than you. Son, attend to my wisdom. You don't have enough yet. Son, attend to my understanding. You'll get your own, but I've lived life a little bit. You listen to what I have to say." And he says, "Look, that thou mayest regard discretion." You're going to need discretion. We've got young people that have recently married. We've got young people who are in the process of finding that person. Boy, we need discretion. We need wisdom. Jacob needs wisdom. Hannah needs wisdom. Elijah's got a long ways to go yet. This Elijah. The other Elijah needs a boatload of discretion. But you know what? You look at the Word of God, and the answers are there. But the Bible talks about don't waste your father and mother. But parents, we have to keep the lines unblurred. We have to unblur the lines. Proverbs 11:22. Not probably the prettiest statement in the Bible, but definitely a true statement. "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout." Something about that just doesn't quite belong, right? "So is a fair woman which is without discretion. Oh, she's so pretty. Does she have discretion? Look, pretty changes over time. Right, honey? You get more beautiful all the time. It changes over time. Okay? But you look at this and you understand pretty is not all you want. Pretty's not bad. Pretty and discreet, man, that's a combo package. But pretty with no discretion, jewel of gold and a pig snout. Swine snout. And so I'll tell you what, you'll be happier with not the prettiest girl on the block, but if she's got discretion, than with the prettiest one and no discretion. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, the older women are to teach the younger women, and one of the things that they're supposed to teach them in verse 5, let's just go ahead and read verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be what? Discreet. Discreet is the operation, the noun, the characteristic that goes with discretion. You want to marry a woman who has discretion when it comes to finances. You want to marry a woman who has discretion when it comes to rearing children. That's vitally important. You're not just marrying your wife, you're marrying the mother of your children. What kind of mother will she be? Discretion about household things. Discretion about how to handle different situations. Discretion about how to recognize, wait, I got to get away from this man. He's no good. How about this? Discretion to say, honey, watch out for that girl. I think she's trying to move in here. Discretion's a very good tool. It's a good characteristic. It's something that's definitely needed, but it's something that has to be taught. You see that the older women are supposed to teach the younger ones. Mothers, let me say this, mothers, you got to have it in order to teach it. It is important. And then we're going to finish with Isaiah 28. This is just a sample passage. That shows a difference. Verse 28 through 29 says, now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? You know, this is just practical discretion. I'm going to plant this here, I'm going to plant this here, I'm going to plant this here. You don't mix the barley seed and the rye seed and the wheat seed and throw it all in together and, oh, we'll just plant it all in the same patch. Just practical. But then it says this, for his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin. Now, I don't know all that much about fitches and I don't know all that much about cumin. But what he's saying is here, when you harvest it and you separate it from the chaff, for this, you're going to use this instrument. For this, you're going to use this instrument. And you don't mix the two up. There's a right way to do things. and you need discretion. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. So if you ever plant fitches, you better get yourself a staff. You're going to need it come harvest time. Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts. Look at this. Which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. The key is, he gives a practical illustration of when it comes time to harvest, what instrument do you use? You don't put a bean head on to go harvest corn. It's discretion. But he's saying God's counsel is great. Let me read that last verse again. This also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. God won't let you down. We need to learn to use the book and operate by the book and have discernment and discretion for our own sake, for the sake of our family, for the sake of our children that are coming up after us, for the sake of the church, for the sake of finances, everything. Is there an area of life that you don't need discernment? I think not. Is there an area of life where you don't need discretion? Like, we need those things. We need these two things. And God being our help, we've got to go after them. We've got to seek for these things. Look, do you get the idea from the Bible that discernment automatically happens? Or that discretion automatically happens? Mm-mm. They have to be taught. They have to be built. They have to be sought after. But it's a beautiful thing when you see it begin to work. And God bring it to pass in our lives. And we need to seek God and seek for that. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we come to the invitation, God, the message is here. God, the need is great in all of our lives. God, help us to recognize that.